This week's daf, we'll be looking at Chagiga daf Chavav. We'll actually start from the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of Chav Hamad Bez, and we'll only cover Chavav and Aleph today, and next time we will cover Chavav and Bez and conclude the Masechta with Chav Zayin Amad Aleph. So the Mishnah is discussing, we know that when Amei Ha'aretz, those who are not makrid on Tumat Tahara, touch something, they generally make it Tamei. So the issue is that when you're near the Beis HaMikdash and you want to use certain kelim for kudshim and for the Beis HaMikdash, and yet all the sellers of the kelim are Ami Haaretz, so how do you handle that? So the Mishnah says, Min ha-modiyim v'lifnim ne'emonin al-kli cheres. From the city of Modiin and inwards, towards Yerushalayim, if you're anywhere in that vicinity, any peddler, any merchant who's selling earthenware vessels is believed to say that they're tahor. However, min hamodiyim lechutz, from Modiin and outward, farther away from Yerushalayim, in Ne'emanin, they're not believed. Rashi points out Modiin is about 15 mil away from Yerushalayim, and what we're talking about that they're selling is these klicheres hadakin, very small kelim like pots and cups and little bowls that everyone needs. And the issue is that since everyone needs them, it would be a gzeira that would be unsustainable. As Rashi says, "In gozing gzeira al tzibur, shinruva tzibur yichol lamadba." So if we ban completely the kelim of all Ami Haaretz, no one would have their basic needs of kelim. So they had to allow it at least from Modiin and inwards towards Yerushalayim. Keitzad. So now what's a practical example of how this comes to fruition? So HaKedar, so if you have the one who made the pot, Shehu Mocher Akderos, and he's the one selling his own pot, meaning he didn't peddle it off to someone else as a distributor. So when he's Nichnas Lifnim in Amodin, when he comes within Modin toward Yerushalayim, so Hu HaKedar, he as the one who made the pot, and the pots that he made are his pot. And the purchasers saw him. So, Neman. Only then is he Neman. So what are these three qualifications? So you have to have, first of all, Kedar. Again, the person who made the pot, he's the one that's believed. Once he passes it off for someone else to sell, that person is no longer believed. Because whatever this heter is, they limited the heter as much as possible. Number two, it has to be his pots. So let's say he has 10 pots. As he's traveling, someone hands him another 10 pots. That doesn't work. It has to be all his pots. And number three, as Rashi points out, once he passes the Modiin threshold, the only purchasers that are allowed to purchase from him are those that actually witnessed him crossing the border. You had to see him do it. Those who came later, they don't get grandfathered into this heter. However, says the Mishnah, Yotza, once this peddler, once this merchant, once this pot maker, once he leaves Modiin and goes farther away from Yerushalayim, now he's Eino Neman, because his Nemanus depends on where his location is. If he's within Modiin towards Yerushalayim, he's believed. If he's outside, he's not believed. So says the Gemara, Tana, Modiin, Pam Kilofnim, Pam Kilochutz. The Mishnah distinguished between within Modiin and outside Modiin. What about the city of Modiin itself? Does the city of Modiin itself have the status of being towards Yerushalayim, in which case this pot maker would be believed, or outside, in which case he would not be believed? So the Gemara is answering that, well, it depends. Depending on the circumstance, the city of Modiin could have different statuses. Ketzad, how is that possible? Kedar yotze v'chaver nichnas. Kilifnim. Let's say you have a keder, a pot maker, who is leaving Yerushalayim, passing through Modiin to exit. And then you have a chaver, someone who's makbid on halacha of Tumat Tahara, walking from outside Modiin, going towards Yerushalayim. And they both meet in Modiin. So in that scenario, we view Modiin as kilifnim, as if it's within, towards Yerushalayim, and the keder is believed. Why? So Rashi says, because im lo achshav imasai, when else do you want this chaver to purchase the pot? The kedar is going out, the chaver is going the other way. Once he crosses the threshold, the keder won't be there anymore. So his only opportunity to purchase these pots is when he's in Modin itself. And therefore we say, we're going to believe the keder to sell the chaver the pots in Modin if the keder is leaving and the chaver is coming. However, shnehem nichnasin, now to chavavim alef, or shnehem yotzin, if both the chaver and the keder are either both entering Modin, from outside Modin to Modin toward Yerushalayim, or they're both going from Yerushalayim and exiting away from Yerushalayim, and they're passing through Modin. In both of those scenarios, kilachutz. We view them as being outside, and he's not believed. Why? So Rashi explains, in the case where they're both entering, so why would we allow the chaver to buy from the kedar right now in Modin? They're both going toward Yerushalayim. Let him wait a couple miles until they pass the threshold, and then he can buy it in the good zone, where everyone agrees it's permitted. So we wouldn't give him the heter when he can easily buy them in a mutter way. And on the flip side, if they're both leaving, that means that 10 miles back, they were both in the good threshold, walking together. So why didn't the chaver buy it then? So we penalize him. From the fact that they were both in Yerushalayim at the same time, he could have bought the pots then, but he waited. Even though now they're together in Modin, we don't allow him to purchase the pots because he had the opportunity and he lost out. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Af anan nami tayina. We see this distinction in the Mishnah itself. The distinction between whether Modin is considered inside and outside depending on who's traveling where. How do we see that? Because we have a contradiction in diukim, in implications. Hakeder shemachar zakdeiros v'nichnas lifnim min al-modin. We say, what kind of pot maker is believed when he goes inside Modin? Meaning, he's got to be between Modin and Yerushalayim. So the implication is, taimod lifnim min al-modin. The only reason why he's believed is because he's past Modin. He's inside. Ha-Modin Gufa. If he was actually in the city of Modin, lo mehemin, he wouldn't be believed. However, Ema Seifa. What does the Seifa say in the Mishnah? Yatsa Eino Neman. Only when he goes completely outside Modin, exiting far away from Yerushalayim, then he's not believed. Implication being, Ha-Modin Gufa Neman. If he was actually in Modin, the city itself, he would be believed. So how do we resolve the contradiction in implications? Elalash Ramina, clearly we see from here that it depends. Kan bekeder yotze v'chaver nichnas. If the keder, the pot maker, is leaving and the chaver is entering, then we view it as lifnim and the am aretz is believed to sell him the pot. And kan, when we say that the keder is not believed, that's either when they're both kishishneim yotzin, they're both leaving Modin, Oshneim nichnas, and they're both entering, for the reasons we stated previously, shmamina. So that's very clearly the way we resolve the seeming contradiction. Okay. Continuing. Tano, nemanin b'kincheres hadak in the kodesh. Right? Essentially, we're recapping what we said in the Mishnah, which is that the Amei Aretz are believed on small klicheres for the sakes of kodesh to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, as Rashi pointed out. Klicheres hadakim, very small kelim, like bowls and cups, these things are very needed. So they couldn't make a gzeira because people couldn't handle it. They couldn't be without pots, these small pots. Omer Ish Lakish, what's considered dakin? What's considered a small utensil that we then believe the Amei Aretz on? So Ish Lakish says, Pusha nitlan biyado achas. Categorically, you have to be able to hold it in one hand. A spoon, a fork, a bowl, a cup, nothing bigger than that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar argues and says, Amar afilu she'in nitlam b'yadu achas. No, it doesn't have to be able to be held by one hand. Even if you could only hold it with two hands, that would still be possibly in the category of dakin and bimutter. Amar Ish Lakish, lo shonu el reikonim. The only kelim that they permitted the Amar to sell you is empty kelim. Because those are the ones that you're going to need for your house. Av amaleyin, lo. Not full of wine or oil or anything like that. Again, if it's only based on necessity, then they only allowed you to purchase it in a state of necessity, which is empty. However, Yochanan says, no, Amar afilu meleim, the afilu afikar suso lesocho. Says, even if the barrels are full of wine, even if they have even a garment in them, there's a little bit of machlokes what this word afikar suso means. Rashi in Moed Katan Adafchav Bezan Rebbe says it means a scarf. The Rambam says it means an undergarment. The Shach says it means an overcoat. It might, according to most opinions, it means some type of garment. Whatever the barrel is full of, either way, Rabbi Yochanan says that that's okay. V'yamar Rava, Rava says, Umod Rabbi Yochanan b'mashkin atzman shein tmein. So Rabbi Yochanan actually has a very interesting scenario. Rabbi Yochanan is telling you that when the Ama Aretz tries to sell you a utensil that has wine in it, let's say, so he still believed on the utensil. But let's remember, the entire Mishnah is discussing the believability of an Ama Aretz on what? On the kli. We were not speaking about the contents. So it comes out very interesting according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, when an Ama Aretz sells you a kli cheres, you are allowed to believe the Ama Aretz with respect to the kli cheres itself, to assume that the kli is tahor. However, if he sells it to you with contents, with liquid inside, you have to assume the liquid inside is tameh, which is very interesting because the kli contains the liquid. So it's very weird or strange to suggest that the barrel or the cup or the jug is tahor and that the contents are tameh. However, says the Gemara of Yal Titma, don't be so bothered by that. Why? Because we find this precedence already in Chazal. Shahari Lagin Mali Mashkin, we had a case earlier in Dachaf Beis where you had this type of pitcher that's bigger than a cup, smaller than a barrel, almost like a jug, where when it's filled with water, and let's say it's contained inside a Kli Cheres. So normally, Kli Cheres protects whatever's inside of it, but it only protects food, not Kelim. So in that scenario, you could have a case where you have this jug which has liquid in it, inside a kli cheres, and now, if let's say that kli cheres becomes tameh meis, so you would have the jug itself, the lugin is tameh in tumah shiva, would have tumah shiva status of a tameh meis, however, umashkin tahorin, yet the liquid inside the jug is tahor, because it was protected by the kli cheres. So don't wonder how Rabbi Yochanan would actually say that's a valid case where the Ama Aretz is being believed on the kli, but not the liquid inside the kli, because we do find that Chazal have such scenarios, as strange as they may seem, where the kli on the outside is either tahor or tameh, and the liquid inside is the opposite. Next Mishnah. Hagabayin shenichnesu l'toch habayis, v'chin haganovim shechziru sakelim. So you have two scenarios. Number one, let's say you have a Yisrael Jew who is appointed as a tax collector for the local government or king to collect different taxes and penalties from the constituents. So he entered your house either looking for you or because you didn't pay something, he's looking to take collateral from you. And similarly, you have a robber, a bandit, who breaks into your house, wants to steal your stuff, but he breaks in again to return the things he stole. So in both those scenarios, both the Jewish tax collector and the ganav who's coming to return your stuff, in both those scenarios, the issue, remember, is going to be that we have to assume these individuals, the tax collector and the ganav, are Amei Haaretz. So they just went through all your stuff, either because they were looking for collateral or because the ganav is looking to put stuff back and he's moving through your house. So the issue is, if an Ama Aretz touches your kelim, we have to assume they're tameh. So do we in fact assume that? Says the Gemara, no. Ne'eman and Lomar, both the Gavai tax collector and the Ganav are believed to say, if you speak to them afterwards, Lo Naganu. Yes, we were in your house, but we can promise you that we didn't touch any of your belongings, and those belongings can still be used for Kodesh. However, Yerushalayim, Ne'eman and Al Kodesh. Now, in Yerushalayim itself, this is in contrast to the previous Mishnah, where we said from Odin and on, only for Kelim Dakin, when in the city of Yerushalayim itself, Amei Aretz are believed for the sake of Kodesh on all Kelim. Now, why is Yerushalayim different? The Gemara is going to explain. U'bishas haregel afal ha-truma. And even though we've been saying up until now, whether it be Modin and on, Yerushalayim, that Amei Aretz are only believed for the sake of Kodesh, not for Truma, during a Regel, during a Yontif itself, Sukkis, Pesach, Amei Aretz, the Kelim that they use or that they sell to you, are assumed to be Tahor, even with respect to Truma. Okay, So the Gemara is going to explain this. Urminhi, we have a stiro, we have a contradiction. Hagabayish nechasu l'toch habayis, habayis kulotame. We have a brisa that says that when the tax collector enters your house, we have to assume the house is completely tame because he rummaged through all your stuff and we assume he's an amaretz. But I thought our Mishnah says that the gabay, the tax collector, is believed to say he didn't touch anything. Seems to be a stira. Lokash, it's not a question. Ha de'ikr nachri bahadayu. Ha de'ikr nachri bahadayu. When do we believe the tax collector to say he didn't touch any of your stuff? That's when he came alone. But if he came with another non-Jew accompanying him, Rashi says that we don't believe him because there's a certain fear that he needs to do his job well. And therefore, he's going to have to rummage through all your stuff. So if someone's next to him, there's a little bit of a fear involved. So we assume he's going to rummage through all your stuff. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah which says, Im yesh nachri imahen, if there's another non-Jew, so nemanin lomar lo nichnasu. The tax collector can be believed to say, I never entered your house. Aval ein nemanin lomar nichnasu, nichnasnu aval lo naganu. He's not believed to say, I was in there, but I didn't touch anything. Because we assume if the guy is with him, he's for sure going to touch all of your stuff. Why is that so? Why just because he has a non-Jew accompanying him on this home invasion to try to collect collateral for the government, why do we assume he's going to touch all of your things? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Blazer, Chad Amar, one says, Emas Nachri Alehen. The issue is that this person next to you, even if he's the same level as you, the Jew's going to be nervous that if he doesn't do a thorough check, this guy is going to punish him. Either try to take his money or physically assault him. And because of that nervousness, he's going to check every kli in the house. And that's why we have to assume they're tameh. The Chad Amar, Emas Malchus Alehen. No, the other one says the issue is not that this non-Jew accompanying the tax collector is going to harass him or try to blackmail him, but rather the concern is that maybe this non-Jew will go tattletale to the king and say, did you see what David did? He didn't really check that house well. My benayu, who can, what's the difference between these two reasons? Ikebenayu, nachri she'eno chashiv. The difference between these two explanations is, what if you have a non-Jew accompanying you who's like an inferior of yours? Let's say he's an intern. Let's say he just started on the job. So we're not concerned he's going to assault you or try to blackmail you because he's in no position to do so. However, if we're concerned that this non-Jew is going to tattletale on you to the government, so even a nachri she'eno chashiv could possibly tell on you to the government, and therefore we would still have to be concerned and say everything is tameh. Okay. Then we said, we also referred to ganavim who return object that they stole. Remini, we have a contradiction. Haganavim shenichasu l'soch habayis. When robbers enter the house, eino tameh el makom drisas ragli haganavim. The only area in the house that we have to assume was touched, and therefore is tameh, is only the footprint. Wherever the ganav walked, wherever you see that he walked. So why is that a stira? Rashi points out, well, our Mishnah said, when the robber comes to return something, no part of the house is tameh. And yet here we're saying, at least his footprint is tameh. So which one is it? Amrav Pinchas Mishwe Derav. The difference is, Kishasu Tshuva. There's a big difference. This brisa that we just quoted was when robbers came to break into your house. So over there, they're still in the status of an evildoer. They're doing the wrong thing. And therefore, wherever they walked, we have to assume they touched. And wherever they touched, since they're an Amma Aretz, we have to assume that it made it tameh. Whereas our Mishnah is talking about ganavim, robbers, who are coming to return your objects. Why would they be returning your objects? It must be they did tshuva. They could not make ditani shech zira sakilim. Why else would they be coming to return the things they stole unless they did tshuva? And because they did tshuva, that's why we believe them. Shema Amina, you see that's clearly the distinction, that because the ganav is coming to return the objects, it's very clear proof that he's doing tshuva. If he's doing tshuva, that's why you believe him to say he didn't touch anything in the house when he came back. Okay, Ubirshalayim ne'emanin ala kodesh. In Yerushalayim, we said, Amiyarats are believed on all utensils for the sake of Kodesh, whether it be Kilim Dakim, and even Kilim Gasim, even big barrels. So Tana, Ne'emanin akli cheres gasim lekodesh. Even large barrels, Amiyarats are believed on, specifically in Yerushalayim, and specifically for the sake of Kodesh. The Kol Kach Lama, why is Yerushalayim unique? She'ein osin kivshonos Yerushalayim. There's a special rule so that there shouldn't be smoke, a lot of smoke in Yerushalayim, that they didn't allow these furnaces that would essentially be used to make the kelim. So just because of this rule, no kelim could really be made in Yerushalayim itself. And therefore, they had to really allow everything. However, when it came to the kelim dakim, Rashi points out, they could have really got it from Modi'in and in. So there, they could have really just used their neighbors or gone a couple miles and got. But when it comes to the Kelim Gasim, those were something that they really could not have had any of at that point. And therefore, they really needed to allow it in Yerushalayim as well. And again, those Kelim were really being used in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the Tzibur. And therefore, there was really a strict need to have these things. Whereas the Kelim Dakim were needed not just for the Beis HaMikdash, but were needed for each individual household to cook with. And therefore, that's why the boundary, the parameter for the heter, for the kelim dakim, is much wider, because they were much more necessary for the average household. Ubishas ha-regel afa ha-truma. The Mishnah had said that during the regel, on the entire Pesach, the entire Sukkis, if an Ama Aretz is selling you a kli, you can assume it's tahar, not only for the sake of Kodesh, but also for the sake of Truma. So, Menahani Mili, what's the source of this? So, Amar Rav Shua ben Levi, to Amar Kra, because there's a pasuk in Shoftim, which says, Vayosef kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir, ki ish echad chaverim. All the Jews gathered in the city, Yerushalayim, for the regalim, ki ish echad chaverim. And they were all like chaverim. So you see, Hakasav Asan Kulan Chaverim. The pasuk in Shoftim equates every individual Jew, including the Amei Aretz, on the regel. The pasuk gives them a status of a chaver. Well, if they're a chaver, then now I understand why we believe them. Now let's dig deeper there. Why are Amei Aretz considered tar on the regel? So the Rishon LeZion says the pasuk shot is that everyone, even Amei Aretz, are metahir themselves before the regel. And that's how the Rambam, in Hilchos Mishkav Moshav, Perek Yid Aleph, Halacha Tes, he writes that way. That it's just because it was commonplace that even those who weren't normally makbid on Tumat Tahara, before the regel, they would go to the mikvah, they would purify their kelim. That's why we believe them. However, Rashi Maseches Beitza says, the reason why we assume Amei Aretz are considered tar on the regel is so as not to embarrass the Amei Haaretz. So the Mishnah Lamelech asks in the Rambam that if the whole reason that Amei Haaretz are Tahar on the Regel is because they were Metahir before the Regel, then we're going to see in the next couple Mishnayos that the Rabbanan made a Gzeira that after the Regel, retroactively we have to assume those Kelim are Tameh. Well, why would that be? If the reason they're tar on the regular is because they're actually tahor, then there would never be a tumma retroactively. So he answers that the Rama thinks that there are two reasons why they're tahor. Number one is because they were matar themselves, but number two is because of the takana, that since everyone is gathering, but he added an additional reason that they're matar themselves. But the fact that they're matar themselves is not a good enough reason. We're not so convinced. So we really need the other reason also of, since everyone's gathering, we don't want to embarrass them. According to that reason, we understand why retroactively they made the Tumah. So according to the Mishnah Lamelech, the Rambam was giving one of two reasons, but really you need both of those reasons to explain why the Am Aretz is Tahar on the Regel. Now very interesting, the Maharsha notes that the Yerushalmi learns this din, the fact that the Chaver, every Am Aretz is considered a Chaver on the Regel from a different Pasuk. From the Pasuk of Yerushalayim HaBenuya Ki'ir Shechuvra LaYachtov. Very famous Pasuk we say. So how does Yerushalayim learn that pasuk? Yerushalayim is a city that makes all of Israel into chaverim, ki ir shechuvra lo yachtov. That it creates all chaverim. Very interesting. That would be another additional source for the fact that all Amei Eretz are considered chaverim. Also interestingly, the Yerushalmi Bava Kama learns from the pasuk Yerushalayim HaBenuya ki ir shechuvra lo yachtov to mean that Yerushalayim, what does it mean shechuvra lo yachtov? Like chover, like mechuber. It's a city that unifies Klal Yisrael. So the question is that a double drasha? Meaning, according to the Yerushalmi learning two things from the pasuk of Yerushalayim Abenuya, Kir Shechuvra Lo Yachtov. Number one, that Yerushalayim is a city that all the Amei Eretz are considered chaverim. And number two, Yerushalayim is a city that unifies Klal Yisrael. So the Maariv Chiyutz, Maseches Nida, and Daf Lamed Daled says it's really one and the same drasha. Based on the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim in Perek Gimel, who says that why do we have Yom Tovim? They're to foster Ahava amongst Klal Yisrael, to bring Achdus to Klal Yisrael. And when we're Ba'achdus, we bring the Shekhinah down. So the real reason for Aliyah L'Regel is to join all the Amei Eretz and the Chaverim, all of Klal Yisrael. The problem is, imagine unifying Klal Yisrael when some people feel embarrassed, some people feel lower than others. The Amei Eretz are not going to feel unified if they're not believed on Taros, if they feel like others are looking down on them. Says the Maariv Chiyutz, one way to eliminate that and to create the unity is to say that all Jews are believed on the Regel. That creates the Achdus. So it's Kir Shechuvra Lo Yachtov in two senses. It unifies Klal Yisrael. Kechuvra Lo Yachtov, it's Mechuvra them. How does it do it? By making everyone a Chaver. No one should feel embarrassed. No one should feel that they're being looked down upon. On the Regel, everyone's a Chaver. When everyone feels like a Chaver, everyone will feel unified. And that's what brings the Shekhinah down on the Yomim Tovim. Very interesting. Okay, next Mishnah. Haposeach es chaviso v'amaskul b'isoso al gav haregel. So the issue now is, yes, it's true. On the regel itself, the Amei Eretz are believed that all their kelim are considered tahor. What happens after the regel? So you have this chaver merchant who purchased some pots, some pans from the Amei Eretz on the regel, perfectly beheter. He was allowed to do that. But now he's still involved with that barrel, or let's say he bought dough from the Amei Eretz, he's still involved, he still has a batch of that dough left. What's the status of that barrel? What's the status of that dough after the regel? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yigmor, finish off the barrel and finish off the dough, meaning it's fine. Your grandfather in, because you had a heter to buy it, even though now we're after the regel, finish up. Chamim Omrim, lo Yigmor. Chamim say, there's tumala mafreya, meaning the Amei Eretz were never really tahor on the regel. We just were pretending they were. We gave you a 7-day pass. But after the regel, it reverts back to its previous tumah status, and therefore retroactively, this kli is a tumay kli, or the dough is tumay dough, and can no longer be used at all. So Yosef Ravami, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Kila de Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Ravami and Ravitza were sitting on the doorstep of Ravitzak Nafcha. Pasachad v'yomar, and one asked the following question. Mahu shenichena l'regel acher. So you have this poor chaver who purchased a very large sum of dough from this Amei Eretz on the regel. He's left with the many, many pounds of dough. So you're going to tell him, according to the Chachamim, to throw it out? Can he at least store it for the next regel? Because if every regel, everything becomes tahor again, so maybe as long as he stores it, doesn't use it until then, once the next regel comes, magic would have it that the dough becomes tahor once again. So Amar Le'idach, the other one said, well, I don't get it. Yad HaKol Min Mashmashin Ba, V'yata Martin Yichel Regel Acher, says, well, practically how would that work? He has his dough in his store. Everyone, it's in a marketplace, not like we have nowadays behind the glass. Everyone's touching it. So everyone's touching it. They're going to be Amei Eretz who are touching it. So that's not going to work. How can you say leave out the dough? Everyone's going to be touching it. and it's going to make it to the next regel, of course it's going to become tamei before the next regel. So Amar Leh, the other one said back, well, atu ad ha'idna lav yadakol mimashim ba? Well, I don't get it. During the regel itself, when he had the barrel or the dough open, wasn't everyone touching it also? So obviously people touching it doesn't matter. Amar Leh, the other one said, no, hachiyash, you can't compare. Bishlama ad ha'idna, on the regel itself, when he had the dough out or the barrel out that was open, Thomas Amaritz Beregel Rachmanatara. Even though everyone was touching it and there were Amaritz there, but magic on the Regel, everyone's changed into a Chaver. So the fact that people were touching it, that wouldn't be problematic. Elahashta, after the Regel, Tameyahi. The Amaritz are still Tamei, so we have to be concerned that if he's going to leave his dough out until the next Regel, Amaritz are going to touch it and be Metamei it. Says the Gemara, Nima Kitanaihi. Whether or not we say like Rabbi Yehuda, that whatever you have left over, you can finish, or like the Chachamim, that you have to chuck it, is actually perhaps a Machlokes Tanayim. Where do we see this? Tani Chada, because one Tana of a Braisa says, Yani Chena L'Regel Acher. One says, you can save it and store it for the next Regel. Tani Idach V'Ni Chena L'Regel Acher. And one says that you cannot store it for the next Regel. So my love, Tanayi. So you see this shaila that Ravami Ritzak Nafcha we're asking about whether or not, even according to the Chachamim who say Lo Yigmar, whether or not you can store for the next regel, it sounds like it's a machlokes tanayim. One says Yanichen leregel acher, and one says not to. Says the Gemara, Lo, no, that's not what it means. Hadik tani Yanichena, that which this Braisa says, leave it until the next regel, that's Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says Yigmor, meaning you can finish it up now, or you can store it. And the Tana who said, don't leave it over, that's the Rabbanon who said Lo Yigmor. So it's not a Machlokes Tanayim, it's just paralleling the Machlokes of the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and between the Chachamim. Says the Gemara of Tisbara, can you really align and say that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says Yanichen al-Regel Acher? But Har Rabbi Yehuda Yigmor Ka'amar. Yigmor means finish it now. Yigmor is actually the opposite of saying Yanichen l'regel achar. Yanichen l'regel achar means I don't need to finish it now. I can store it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is saying finish it. So how can you align those two opinions? Ella, it must be ha detain lo yanichena Rabbi Yehuda, the exact opposite. That Tana that says don't leave it till the next regel, that's Rabbi Yehuda. V'ha'otan yanichena, and that Tana, which said, do leave it over, is Rabbanon. So therefore, when the Rabbanon said Lo Yigmor, it's true. You can't be Yigmor it now, because now, after the Regel, all the Amarites are going to touch it and make it Tamei. But according to the Rabbanon, you actually could store it until the next Regel. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Yanichena. What does that mean? Umay Lo Yanichena. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say Lo Yanichena if he says Yigmor? The answer is no. It means she'in tzarich lahanicha, meaning you can store it till the next regel. But why would you need to do that when you can partake in it now? So when Rabbi Yehuda says lo yanichena, it means lo tzarich lahanicha. You're good. You can eat it now. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that your grandfather did it from the tara of the regel, where the Rabbanan say you can't eat it now after the regel. But Rabbanan would hold that you can store it away and take it back out on the next regel. So we'll stop here at this Mishnah, and next time we'll finish the Masechta with Chavav Mevez and Chavzayim Aleph.